Be'ez Hashem Yisbo'ch, we begin Perek HaMisha, the fifth chapter in the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, the Laws of Shabbos, and the Seves Manim, the Book of Designated Times, which in this part we discussed regarding, still continuing regarding Erev Shabbos, which we spoke about, of that putting stuff on, starting Melachas from before Shabbos, and regarding putting food on from before Shabbos. And then we discussed regarding the final thing before Shabbos, which is lighting the candles. So Rambam gives Halacha Aleph regarding the obligation of lighting Shabbos candles. Halacha's Neiv Shabbos, the lighting of the candles on Shabbos, ain't Rishus, it's not optional. Meaning, Imratza Madlik, if he wants to, he can light. Imratza Ein Madlik, and if he doesn't want, he doesn't have to light. And so, to Bulei Mitzvah, neither is it like a lower level mitzvah, Shein Chayiv Lirdef Acharyat Sheyasenda, that you don't have to run after it until you actually do it. For example, you have the mitzvah of Eruv Chatzeris, the rabbinic mitzvah of making an Eruv of different courtyards that allows you to carry from one common area to another one, if it's not the biblical area. If a person doesn't want to carry on Shabbos from one courtyard to another, he doesn't have to make an Eruv. So it's a mitzvah that you don't have to pursue, or washing your hands before you eat, which is an obligation, but if you don't want to eat bread, you don't have to wash your hands. Ella, rather here, this mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, it's an obligation. And whether it be men or women, there's an obligation for them to have in their home a lit candle on Shabbos. Even if he doesn't have what to eat, he has to go knocking on doors, v'lekech shemen, umadlik is in there. He has to buy oil and light a candle. Shezeh b'chol oinik Shabbos, because that's included in the category of the delight of Shabbos. M'chayev levorach ha'malok, he has to make a blessing before he lights. Baruch atah Hashem, l'kein melech ha'ilam, bless you Hashem, our God, King of the world, Hashem, k'deshon, mitzvah yisad, etzibon, l'hadik nesh Shabbos, that he sanctified us in his commandments. He commanded us to light the candle of Shabbos. K'derech shemavarach al kol advarim, shu'chayev b'hem, medibur sefer, just like you make a blessing on all things which are rabbinic obligations. And it's still considered that Hashem commanded us. Halacha Beis, Mutl Shabbos B'Nesh Shabbos. You're allowed to utilize the Shabbos candle. But who has long as Shleyeh Dabat Tzurch In Harba, as long as the thing that you're utilizing it for doesn't require great analysis. But it's something that you have to be very precise in how you see it, to see it very clear. You're not allowed to try to differentiate to the light of the candle, because Gezeirah Shemiyat were concerned then you might come to tilt it to have better light coming out of it, which is obviously forbidden on Shabbos because of Havara and the possible Kibbut. Halacha Gimel, regarding the time of lighting Shabbos candles. Hamadlik, the one who lights, tzarech lahadlik m'boyim, has to light when it's still daytime, koyim shekezacham, before the sun sets. V'noshim mitzubes al dobe zeh yosim nanoshim. Now women are commanded on this more than men, because l'fishem mitzuyis b'batim, because they're around in the homes, they're the caretaker. V'inasukis b'malachas abayis, they're also engaged in taking care of the needs of the house. V'afa pekin, even so, tzarech yesh laziron, the man has to warn them, v'liv digas makach, and to check them regarding this, v'lemelen, and to tell them and to the members of the family, Erev Shabbos, Kem Shetech Shech, Erev Shabbos, before it gets dark, Hadlik is in there, light the candle. Now, Sovik HaSheicha, but Nichnas HaShabbos, let's say it's not sure, is it already dark, and the Shabbos already started, Sovik LeNichnas, it didn't not start. Imalikin, once it's Shkia, once it's already the time that it might be considered Shabbos, which is a twilight period, you can't light Shabbos candles anymore. Halachadal, now, Mishatishka HaCham, from when the sun sets, Achido Shleisha Kacham Beinim, until you see three medium-sized stars. Who has man nikkur? This is the time which is called bein hashmasha b'chamakum. Whenever we talk about between the shemashes, between the suns, we mean this. V'usafik min hayom, safik min halayla. It's a time period which not sure if it's daytime or not sure if it's nighttime. And medan b'lahach b'chamakum. In all places we treat it stringently. L'vikichim adlikim, but there we cannot light because it might be Shabbos and forbidden to light candles. If someone does a malacha by twilight, before Shabbos or at the end of Shabbos, b'shoygi by mistake, chayiv chatzis b'kamakim, he's going to be liable for a sin offering. Now, b'kachav me'el, these stars that we said, the three stars, like gedolim hanir b'yom, I'm not talking about large ones which you could even see during the daytime, like planets. But like gedolim she'enir me'elad, I don't mean small ones which could only be seen at nighttime. And the b'ayinim, we mean the medium-sized ones. When you see these three medium-sized stars, that is a lot of other, then it's definitively nighttime. Now, look regarding the wicks that can be used for the Shabbos candle. The wicks that you could use to light for the Ner Shabbos, but you cannot use it something that the light on it flickers on it, which means to say that it doesn't stay so well. So since it doesn't light so well, we're concerned that you might come to tilt the oil to the wick, then you'll be doing Havara, the one Lama Tes Malachas, of lighting a fire. So, Kugan, for example, Tzemer, wool, Veseir, and here, Vemeshi, and silk, Vetzemer, Erez, and the wool, so to speak, the fibers of a cedar tree, Upishtan, Shleinupats, or flax, which was not carded, which is the, wasn't cleaned out from its, the refuse, or Vesiv Shaldekel, palm bast, which is the threads that are from the inner membrane of the palm tree, or min ha'etz arakim, or these different types of soft trees, creates similar things like that. You can't use the wick from there because it flickers on it. It has to be something that the fire holds on to. Kugani, for example, pishto nefutza, the carded flax, which was already cleaned out, ubigdei sheish, and linen garments, with some gefen, and cotton, and similar things like that. Moreover, the madlik, the one who lights, he has to light the majority of the wick that comes out. He has to make sure that he lights that, not just to touch part of it and light it. Halach above. Hakayruch davar shemadlikim bay. If someone wraps something that you could light with, which we just spoke about, agav davar sheimadlikim bay, on top of something, wraps it around something that you cannot light with. So it depends why he's doing this. Im lahavas apsila, if he's trying to make the wick thicker, kedei lohis of others, to increase the light, so he's actually using the underneath thing as part of it, and also it's forbidden. And the reason why it's forbidden is because then you might come to light with the inferior wick on itself, because using it as part of the wick. Now, if he just wants to make the wick hard, that it could stand, that it shouldn't fall down, but not to use it actually part of the wick, then it's permitted to as just to help it stay afloat. And when that could turn, you might come to use it itself. You could put a grain of salt, which salt actually makes the oil clear that it should be drawn after the wick, or a grushel poil, which is a clump of grinded beans, and which makes the lamp go slower and not to light too fast. You could put these things al piha ner be'erev Shabbos, on the opening of the lamp on erev Shabbos. She derlik b'leil Shabbos, that it should light well on Friday night. Now, v'chalab sila she'imadlik me'erev Shabbos. Now, all wicks that we said you cannot light with for Shabbos, but ois me'medur, you can make a fire out of them, and that's bein l'scham connecta, whether to just warm yourself up, Abba said bein l'shamash lai, whether to utilize its light. And it's been agabim menoyder, been agabim karka, whether on a candelabra, whether on the ground. And the reason is because since it's a huge fire, it's gonna burn each other up. It's not like just one wick of a lamp. Because we're like, oh, so Allah says in Pesil and Nerubah, we only said it's forbidden to make it as a wick, just for a candle itself. Halachas, moving on to the oil, the fuel that you use for the candle. So shemesh ha-menligim al Shabbos, the oil that you can light with for Shabbos, tzorch shehei nimshach ha-chapsil, has to be the type of fuel that it gets drawn after the wick. But regarding oils that don't get drawn after the wick, for example, zephyr, tar, even if it's liquefied, v'shaben wax, v'shemen kik, which is oil that's made from the fruits of a tree called the kikoyin, or v'alga, which is from a fatty tail of a sheep, or v'chelav, or fats, you cannot light with them. Now, Rambam explains both these two halachas that we had. Why can you not light with wicks? That the fire doesn't hold on to it so well. Or you cannot light with oils that don't get drawn after the wick. Because so now the light of the candle might be dark, because either because it's flickering because of the wick, or because the oil is not going being drawn after the wick. So it's going to be dark. And he's going to come to tilt it when he's utilizing because he's not getting such great light. Well, that will be the malach of Avara, and therefore they're problematic. Now, regarding fats which were melted, or the intestines of fish which were also liquefied, so there, in these two cases, as long as you put in just a little bit of good oil inside of it, and then you collide it, because from the Ikra Halacha, these things you could light even without mixing in some oil, because really gets drawn after it. The Chum only said it's also because you might come to light with chaylib, which was not mohutach, or kibbe dogma that were not namaychu. But once you mix in a little oil, so then they didn't make it the gzer in those cases. Now, avashman mishay madligim, but regarding oils that you cannot light with at all, fill every mishman mishay madligim, even if you mix it with good oil that you could light with, lo yali, you cannot light, because they don't get drawn after the wick, and you're going to have the problematic fuel inside over there. Halacha yod, im madligim be itran, you cannot light with itron, which is the waste matter of tar, which is used for illumination purposes, because it has a bad smell. So what? So you might leave with a Shabbos candle lit, and you leave. The obligation is to sit there to get the light of the lamp. So to believe it's three, you cannot light with balsam oil, for the opposite reason, because it has a good smell, and you might use from it for some perfume from the lamp, and whoever utilizes the oil from a lamp is liable for extinguishing, as Rambam will explain in Perek Beis Halacha Beis. It's also jumps. and it could catch fire onto the walls of the house, and the whole house could be up in flames. And so to believe enough love, not in the white nafta, and that's problematic even during the weekday, and they show off because again it jumps, people they say it could bring to dangers, therefore one should never light with such a fuel. It's permitted initially to light with all these other oils, like radish oil, and sesame oil, and turnip oil, and all similar things. Only thing that's forbidden are those that we mentioned before that the sages said are forbidden because they don't get drawn after the wick. Now, regarding rabbinic decrees of utilizing the oil. So, Layitin Adam Kli Menukov, a person cannot put a perforated vessel, Molly Shemin, that's full of oil, Apianer, over the lamp, Bishloshim Enatav, that it should drip down and be like a source of continuous oil that will keep the candles burning longer over Shabbos. So, to Beloy Mali Ka'ar Shemin, you can't put a bowl of oil, but Nenel Bitsad in there, put on the side of the lamp. And be eaten, Reshab Sid Latechel, put one end of the wick inside of it, so and then that goes through the lamp. No, so that it should draw, that's problematic. Zeres, the rabbinic decree, you might come to take the oil from the vessel, which that's problematic, because since it's part of the source of the lamp, it's considered mechaba, because it would have continued lighting, and it's going to be extinguishing it. And the reason why here we're concerned, Shari lo nimas b'ner, didn't get disgusted that when you have a fire in the lamp, it ruins it. But here it's in a different vessel. And the Aslahan is Shabbos and Hashem Shulik Boy, and it's forbidden to have benefit on Shabbos from the oil that was lit with, and even if the lamp goes out, and even if it dripped out of the lamp, so it's like on the table, Nishu Muktzah, because it's considered what's called set aside, which one of the categories of Muktzah is Machmas Isser because of the prohibition. It's designated for a prohibited entity of a lamp, and therefore you can't have any benefit from it. Now, v'mchibra kli shish by Hashem el aner, but if let's say you connected the vessel that has the oil with the lamp, besid or becharis, with lime or with clay, okay, it's one of simple things, then it's mutter, then it's actually permitted to have that lit, because since it's one vessel, now people are going to stay away because of the Isser Shabbos. Here, it looks like two different things. You might come to use it, that's problematic, and anyways, not have any benefit from it at all. Halacha gimel, ein nishtin kli tachas aner. Now, a different halacha. You now put a vessel beneath a lamp, l'kabel b'shem b'shabbos, so that the oil that's leaking out, it'll receive it, it'll catch it. Shadim evatla kli machanim. No, because you're nullifying the vessel from its preparedness. Meaning, initially it was permitted to move this vessel, whatever bowl you took out of the cupboard. Now, but now you can make it forbidden to move it because of the oil that's inside of it, which is mukta, like we said. So it's like as if you're destroying that vessel. Or another way of explaining it is, since you can't move it anymore, it's like, it's because it is a muktzah, because it has the muktzah oil inside of it, it's like soldering it in its place. It's like almost like you're doing a malacha. Now, the nesanim b'ayyim, but if let's say you put it in from before Shabbos, well then mutter, then it's permitted for it to catch the oil. Now, v'noisin kli tachas aner b'Shabbos l'kab b'nitzitza, but you are permitted to put a vessel beneath a lamp on Shabbos to get the sparks, neshein b'mamash, because there's no substance to the sparks. They go out right away. You would be able to move the vessel afterwards, even after sparks went into it, so it wouldn't be v'areilum bitlim el taltli. You didn't nullify it from moving it anymore. But v'asalitim teichem mayim. You now put inside of the bowl water, v'afilim ha'ar b'Shabbos, even from before Shabbos. The reason for that is neshein mukadav kibay ha'nitzitza, because it's going to be making the extinguishing of the sparks go out quicker because it's falling into the water, and that, even though you're doing it from before Shabbos, is problematic. Halacha Dalet, regarding rabbinic concerns regarding utilizing the fire. So in Poilin, one is not allowed to check their garment to get rid of lice from it, lo'er haner, to the light of a lamp. And so to be current, you cannot read something that you have to read with good light. Now they read lo'er haner to the light of a lamp. Even if the lamp is very high up, two stories up, even if it's 10 stories, 10 houses, one on top of the other, and the lamp is on 10 stories high, you're not allowed to try to get delouse to its light, even on the bottom. You might forget, and you might come to tilt, even though it's so high. Now, because you need the light, so you're going to be so busy what you're trying to do, and you're going to tilt it as one would do during the weekday. But if you have two people reading the same thing, they're allowed to read in front of the lamp, because each one's going to remind his friend if he's starting to forget, starting to say, hey, it's Shabbos. But they can't be reading from the same thing if it's two different articles, let's say. Each one is busy with his own article, he's not going to see the other person coming to tilt the lamp. Halakha Tezvav, Hatinoikis, the young children, They're allowed to read in front of their teacher, in front of their Rebbe, to the light of the candle. Why? I mean, they shut up Misham, because their teacher, their Rebbe, protects them and they save scribe and they're intimidated and they're not going to come to tilt it when they're reading. Abul Hula Yukra, but he's not allowed to read, even though they're there, Nesha in a Muslim Allah. Their intimidation is not on him. No one's going to tell the Rebbe anything. He might come to tilt it when he's reading. But Yeshli Liris Basifal Arane, he's allowed to look and glance at the Sefer, to the book, to the light of the candle that they're learning from, Achiyira Resha Parsha, until he sees the beginning of the topic, Shu Tzarch LaHakris, and that he has to help them read. And then he could put the Sefer in their hands, and they could read in front of him again, because that's not really analyzing, so we're not concerned then that he's going to come to tilted in that situation. Halacha design, Kayum Adim Zelazet. If you have vessels that look like each other, garments, very similar. You can't recognize which is which, only if you look very closely. Then, bring it close to the light of the candle to differentiate between them. You might forget, and you might come to tilt. Therefore, you have the following ramification. If you have a waiter that's not the set waiter, he's not allowed to go and check for the guarding which cups, which plates to the light of the candle. He doesn't recognize them. And that's Bein B'nei Shal Shemen Zayis, whether it's a lamp from olive oil, Bein B'nei Shal Naft, whether it's a lamp of Naft, She'er Rav, which has great illumination, it doesn't make a difference, he's still going to come to tilt it, and we have that concern. Av Shamash Kavua, but a set waiter, Mutul Lelib Deklar Aner, he's allowed to check to the light of the lamp, Kaisus, Ka'oris, cups and plates, Nishayin Tzarch Inar, but that doesn't have to check very well, he knows the difference between the cup and the plate, and because it's he always serves. Now, but if it was a lamp of olive oil, we don't instruct him to check to that light, because of Ava Bishomoto, though it's permitted, Xerishim is stopping men, is still a decree that maybe he might come to go ahead and utilize the olive oil, and therefore better not to tell him to utilize that. But regarding the checking, that's not a problem. Lachid Zayin, now regarding being careful from extinguishing the lamp. Neir Shachar Adelis, when there's a lamp, a candle behind the door, now open and close the door in a normal way, because it's going to extinguish it. Rather, you have to be careful when you open and when you close the door. Also, now open up the door opposite a fire on Shabbos, so that the wind might come and blow on it. Now, and that's even if there's only a common wind. And that's the decree because you might do it even when there's an uncommon one, which would definitely put it out. So therefore, you have to be careful in all situations. One is permitted to put the Shabbos candles on top of a tree, which is connected to the ground. It does not be concerned, maybe you're going to come to take it from the tree after you extinguish it, and it comes out that you're utilizing a tree on Shabbos, as we discussed later on Perek Aleph. No, since anyone's not allowed to utilize the lamp after it's extinguished, so there's no concern that you might go on the tree to utilize it. Halachit Ches, regarding the Shofar blast, to announce the oncoming on Shabbos. Kol Medinas Vayagah Shal Yisrael, for every city and every town of the Jewish people, Tekimim Shesh Tekis B'Erev Shabbos, they blow six blasts on Erev Shabbos. B'Mokum Gavoyah, Tekim, they would blow in the high area, Kedei Lashmir Kol Anshei Medinah V'Kol Anshei Mikdash, so that all the people of the city and all the people from the surrounding areas could hear the blast. Halachit Ches, Tekim Rishayin, the first blast, so those who were standing in the fields, they would stop melachresh melader from plowing, from hoeing, from doing the work in the fields. But the ones who are closer cannot enter the city yet until the ones who are further out, until they could come that they all enter into the city together as one, so that people shouldn't suspect those who were further away who come in later, as if they continue working after the tekiyas. Now, after the first Shofar blast, you still have the stores are still open, Batris and Menachem, and their shutters are still placed out. Hiskel Kayushnea, he starts blowing the second blast. Nistalka Tris, and they remove the shutters, they put it back on, the Ninnel Achanuis, and the stores are closed. But Vadainacham and Rakteris Menachem, but you still have the hot water and the pot still placed on the stove. Hiskel Kayat Kishli, so they stop blowing the third blast, Silika Masalik, so you remove the pots. Behitman Hamatman, and whoever wants to insulate, insulates. But Likas and Eris, they light the candles. Beshoya could they litzlis dog cotton. But then the one who's blowing the blast, he wastes just a little amount of time, enough time that if someone wanted to roast small fish, or could they lahadbik pas patan, or to get to put on the bread onto the oven wall. And then b'tekeya mari b'tekeya. He does a tekeya, a trua, which are shorter blasts, and then a tekeya, and then b'shevis, and then he rests, and then it's Shabbos. Lachachav. Tekeya b'shoina. The first blast, Takeya Isa B'mincha, that's done in the afternoon. Vashlishes, the third one, is Krav Lishkei Zecham, is close to when the sun is setting. And then you do the last three of the six very quickly right before. So do they blow after Shabbos, after the stars have come out, to permit the people to go back to their work. If Yom Kippur is on a Friday, so they wouldn't blow Erev Shabbos, because anyways you're forbidden to do Malacha on Yom Kippur. Now, Chalis b'Matzah Shabbos, if Yom Kippur is on Sunday, on Matzah Shabbos, Shalom loy taken, they wouldn't blow, because Yom Kippur is just as holy as Shabbos regarding the prohibition of doing malacha. And you don't have to blow to stop people doing malacha from Shabbos to Yom Kippurim. And v'lem avdilin, you do have Abdullah, because the Kedusha of Yom Kippurim is as severe as the Kedusha of Shabbos, and therefore you only do have Abdullah when you're going from a higher sanctity to a lower sanctity, or from Kodesh to Chayil. Now, Yom Tov Shechali is Be'er Shabbos, if Yom Tov is on a Friday, then taken. Then you blow because you want people to stop doing malacha b'ochel nefesh at yilada, let's say cook and things like that, which are forbidden now going into Shabbos. But v'leim avdil, you don't do havdala, although matzah yom tov you do havdala, but since the sanctity of the day you're going into, Shabbos is more severe than you're coming from, you're not going to make havdala, separation. Chalis la'achar Shabbos, if yom tov is on Sunday, it's after Shabbos, mavdil, you do havdala from Shabbos to yom tov, v'leim taken, and you don't do it kiyah because you're going from a Shabbos which was already forbidden into yom tov. And then you're not going to have to make tekiyas to stop people from doing malacha.